Hey everyone, we are back. I know, it's been a minute. It's been many, many, many minutes. But we are back now, and I am so excited for all the things that we are going to chat about and all the things that we're going to unpack to give you a little bit of, I guess, thought and insight, especially if you're new here. Welcome. I want to let you know that way back when we started this podcast, it had a different name, had a different vibe. And really, it was a way for me, Ashley, the founder of The Stylist Abroad, to tell you all a little bit about my world when it came to beauty, specifically beauty in the wedding industry. But now here we are, literally like 2+ years from when that first started. And it's grown to so much more. It's not just about beauty in the wedding industry. It is so much more about like the authenticity of things in the wedding industry. Things that you should know when you're getting married. Things as vendors that you should be providing. And just all of those little details. And how to honestly get what it is that you deserve without compromising on it. So we're going to spill all that tea. This is going to be a whole lot more sassy. Whole lot more fun. Nothing's held back. So I hope that you enjoy this. As you noticed, it has a whole new name, Secrets of the Wedding Industry. Kind of self-explanatory. Now, normally we would have a guest, but this is our first one back. So we'll be getting those lined up for you. Also, we are offering subscriber content to where you don't have to listen to any sort of annoying ads. And that's kind of dope. Especially if you don't want to listen to annoying ads. So that's kind of our deal. I hope that you keep coming back. I hope that you enjoy this. If you have questions or thoughts or anything that you want our hot take on, just submit it. Let us know. Each episode is going to be kind of formatted where we have our intro, kind of a main talking point with our guest. Within the guest convo, we will sidetrack to make sure that they and their expertise is really highlighted because, you know, hello, why else are they on here? And then we're going to be diving into something you should know. Something maybe you don't know. If you do, kudos, pats on the back. But if you don't, this is your time to like find out. And then we're going to be finishing it up with like our hot take on something. You know, kind of a way to spill the tea or the am I the asshole? That type of a vibe. So it's fun, it's educational, but it's definitely not boring. So now that you have a little rundown as to how this is going to proceed, we'll let this dip into one of those commercials and we'll be back in just a hot second. Welcome back, everyone. So this would be the part where normally we would intro our guest, but like I said, it is just me today, me, myself, and I. So instead, we're going to do a little intro myself for those of you who don't know me. So my name is Ashley. I am the founder of The Stylist Abroad. Created it when I was living in D.C. And now I live in Northern Alabama. We are a wedding hair and makeup team who go on location to service everyone so that way you can get pampered. And not have to worry about things like traffic or anything else like that. We have a team in the DC area, and then we have our Northern and Central Alabama team, and we have a small team in Lexington, Kentucky. So we service all those areas. We do destination weddings. Our company is really big on inclusivity, LGBTQ+, diversity, different religions, cultures, the whole gambit. We want you as a client to make sure that you are seen and celebrated and praised. So our space is a safe space to just be authentically you. And we have the experience too, working with a wide range of different hair types, skin tones, ages, the whole shebang. So that's just a little bit about us. We've been around for about 4 years, which puts us into, or at least maybe me, into this unique timing of it feels like we've been around for a while, but it also feels like everything's just happened, you know, like I've been in the blink of an eye. So that's fun. Maybe some of these episodes, if you're interested, because I certainly don't want to bore you. More than happy to give behind the scene deets on like what it's like as a beauty pro business person and all that. But so guest intro, which was moi. We'll just dive into the whole like something we want you to know. So this segment, the reason why I wanted to do it is because I feel like so much of the wedding industry is kind of in a mysterious shroud and you're just fumbling through and hoping you're doing it right and listening to this magazine or that blog or podcast, you know, whatever. And you're just hoping you do it right. And there's often things that no one talks about because it's just like, I don't know, like an industry no-no, or like some people feel like they'd be shady if they're talking about it when in reality you're just being honest. Or some things are just marketing. And, you know, if you love it, cool. If you don't, like, why be coerced? So we're dishing all of that. I want you to be able to plan your wedding or be a wedding vendor in this and be able to do it authentically. Not out of pressure, not out of fear, not out of misconceptions. Like, just do your thing. So, you know, it's just authenticity kind of getting blasted out there. So today's whole something I feel like you should know. As a beauty pro, we are in the wedding suites all the time. And a wedding suite, if you're not familiar, you might hear it being called like a bridal suite or a groom suite or something like that. My company and I are very, very proactive about gender neutral and gender inclusive terms. So it's a wedding suite. It works for everyone. Wedding suites used to not be a thing. Like, you know, don't age myself, but there was a time when wedding suites like literally didn't exist, or they were very rare. And then it became very evident to venues that you kind of needed one. And if you didn't have one, you were really going to miss out on opportunities to work with clients because it was kind of a hassle if they had to get ready elsewhere and then, you know, go to your place or whatever else. So kind of like an arms race of the wedding industry. Once one place got them, another place got them, and it just kept growing and growing. And now it's almost a thing where everyone, if not mostly everyone, has a wedding suite of some sort. But I bring this up because it's also made something very unique and kind of problematic. Like there's easy fixes. So this isn't a dig by any means at wedding venues. If you're a vendor who's listening to this, I hope there's something good you can take away from it. The problematic thing it's created is that now everyone's offering these wedding suites, but now everyone is offering these wedding suites, but they're not actually facilitating what everyone needs. What I mean by that is that as a beauty pro, in our ideal world, a wedding suite would have great lighting, rather neutral colored like walls and such. And if not, it's like a fun wallpaper. It's probably limited, like a feature wall. There would be outlets, like at least four. So that way, if, you know, hair person has one, makeup person has one, if they each have an assistant, we're good to go. Chairs that, again, bonus points if they go up and down because we're not all tall. And trust me, you wear heels or something elevated one day, a long wedding, and that's going to be it. Your feet are going to be hurting and it's no more after that. So there's that. You want to make sure that there's enough like flat horizontal space to put all of our stuff on. You know, little end tables are cute, but they don't really allow us to put a ton of things on there. So that's a little problematic. And then honestly, like space to move around, especially once the photographer or the videographer gets there or the florist is dropping by flowers, like the room can suddenly get very, very crowded. So if you have more space, like, you know, awesome and kudos. I think that is the bare minimum. That is what a wedding suite should offer. Like those logistical things for us to work in them successfully. Sometimes it does feel like the wedding suites were an afterthought or like a random, I don't know, like storage room or a closet that got turned into it. And you can kind of tell because some of those things are lacking. So that's not great. Not complaining entirely. Because, like, we can work in them. We can get used to it. We're creative. We can do whatever. I'm just saying, in an ideal world, this is what you would offer. But I think the bigger issue, honestly, is the accessibility to them. What I mean by this is that not all wedding venues allow you in, like, at a reasonable time. So, for instance, if let's say you had, it was like a party, like a person getting married and seven people. It's going to take us like 6-ish hours to do that. So if you have to be ready by 2, we need to get in by 8 a.m. To get everyone out the door and looking great. And some venues don't allow you to get in until like 10. Well, now you're in a sticky situation because you thought you could use the wedding suite and not have an assistant for, hair or makeup. But now you're in a situation where you do need an assistant, which is going to be an extra cost for you. Or you have to buy more hours from the wedding venue, which is going to be an extra cost for you. What can you do in that situation? Well, chances are you're already committed to that venue, because we're probably pretty decently far down the road. So you're going to be forced into choosing one of those things or into shaving off the amount of people getting services, which that's not fun. And honestly, I don't advise for it because I think, like, a lot of times you can tell if like there's one or two people who DIY whatever, maybe the general public like doesn't notice as much, but like as a professional, I think you notice. And also they just feel left out, which that's not cool. Or if you don't want to shave anybody off and you don't want to add anybody and you don't want to add hours, then you have to get ready in a different location, which defeats the purpose of using that suite. Like, especially if it is a gorgeous, gorgeous space and you were super excited to use it, and now you're being told you can't because you don't have access to it until a certain time. So that's like, that just puts you in a really, really crappy situation, which is not ideal for anybody because the artists shouldn't have to rush. I am very adamant that our team needs X amount of time and we're not going to rush because we don't want to deliver service that's less than quality. And you now are having to make a really tough call as to what to do. And no one should have to be put into making a decision like under pressure like that, feeling like they have no options. Like, that's just not fair. It's not fair. It's not cool. It's not okay. So what are our possible solutions then? Or how can you kind of like avoid this, right? So kind of walk through the solutions of like adding hours, adding assistant, different location, all of that, right? But that's in that moment. Like, you're already well down the road. I don't want to say you're trapped, but like kind of, because like you have the venue, you have the people, like you have to make it work somehow. But I hate it when people have to come to a decision that way because it seems like forced. So what can you do ahead of time that will help you so you don't end up in that situation? I think the first most important thing as a couple is to ask those questions. Like, when they say, "Oh, hey, here's the beautiful place, whatever, for your Saturday wedding." Ask them like, "What time can I get in?" And specifically, if they don't say specifically like, "You can get into the suite at this time," if they're just kind of like, "Oh, you can start at this time." Be like, well, does that mean I can get into the suite? Like, ask that direct question. And I realize directness is, I don't know, maybe something people are not as comfortable with, but like, you're spending a ton of money at this space. You deserve that answer. And you don't have to be a jerk about it. You can just ask them like, "Oh, does that mean I can get into the wedding suite at this time?" And they should be able to tell you yes or no. And if they say, "Oh no, you can't get in until this time," right? Ask them, well, what if I needed to get in early? What does that look like? Because there are some venues who are very chill and low-key, and if it's like a little early, they'll waive the fee. I'm sure they don't advertise it, so sorry. But then there's also ones who do charge per hour. You need to know kind of like feel them out. Where do they feel with this? And then if they're going to charge per hour, how much is it per hour that they're charging? I have seen everything from venues charging just an extra $100 per hour to charging like $400 to $600 per hour early. So that's huge. And honestly, things like that will probably impact if you're in this situation and you're listening to this mic. Well, great. I wish I would have known. Things like that will impact definitely whether you choose to add an assistant or go off location or whatever else. So ask that. It's so important to ask that. And especially if you have a larger wedding party, because we can't cram the time. We need X amount of time to get work done. So asking that question is going to at least allow you to know what you're getting into realistically. And that will allow you to better plan and not feel like you're forced or stuck into something. And I think that will allow you to have a better choice with it. And as bad as it may sound, if you're deciding between two wedding venues, they're both, you know, stunning and you're obsessed with them both. You're like, how do I choose? Something like that, whether it be like just the added cost or the attitude or whatever, that could be a deciding factor. So, you know, again, it's just something to keep in mind. Like, knowledge is power. Get those answers as you're deciding, because it will help you. It will help you in the long run so that you feel happy when you come to your conclusion. You don't feel like you're cornered into it. Now, what if you are a wedding venue or vendor and you're listening to this? Because I want to be helpful to you too. I guess whether you asked for my help or not, here it is. So my personal take on it is that if you are offering a space for the clients to use, they should be able to use it. I'm not saying, you know, that someone should be like, I want to get in at 5 a.m. Like, yes, I get it. That's very early and very ridiculous. And honestly, like, here's the secret. Beauty pros don't want to start at that time either. Like, none of us do. No. But I think a start time of like somewhere between 7 and 8 is reasonable. And that if you're going to offer that space to them, that's what it should be. Even if it was a thing where honestly your packages overall maybe were like slightly more expensive, but it was included, people would appreciate it. So I think that should be the case across the board. And then if it is a thing where you have extra hours, like cost for extra hours, I think it needs to be reasonable. I realize maybe you have to get there earlier or something like that. But like $600 an hour? What is that going to? I'm sorry, but your extra coffee you need that morning to get up, to get in, let them in. No, it's not worth $600. That is, it's extortion. Honestly, like, and we're just ridiculous. To be fair, if it was me getting married, I would be the petty person where if you tried to charge me $600 more and I heard that before booking, I would take my money elsewhere. So, like, just saying. But I just think it needs to be fair. And then if you are going to do the whole, like, oh, you can't get in till whatever time, extra hours, don't let other vendors get there early either. What I mean by this is I have definitely shown up to a venue where they said we could not get in until X hour, right? And I'm there and the florist already has like half of the arbor set up. So clearly they got in before the whatever time it was we could get into the wedding suite. And it just looks, and it shouldn't be, I mean, it's not like a bad appearance, but it just looks and feels kind of shady. Like you let them in at X amount of time, but you couldn't let us in at X amount of time. And that's just, you know, it's just not a great vibe. So, and a vibe that you could totally avoid too. Like it doesn't have to play out that way. So to recap, couples, ask the questions, get the answers, and really knock out how much it was going to be. You know, when you're considering those options and weigh it out, what's important to you? What works for you? Venues. If you're going to offer a space, really offer it. Don't do this where it's like, oh, it's kind of here, but not really. And then if you're going to charge extra, don't be extorting people, and keep it fair between all vendors because everyone appreciates it. Whew. Okay, so we got all that out of the way. I just think it's super important to know because that's obviously a huge part when you're planning your wedding. But next up, we are going to be having our hot take on something a little gossipy, something a little tea-ish, and let you know our thoughts on it. So we'll have a quick break and come right on back. Hey there, we're so glad to be back now for this moment of our hot take. Have you ever heard of all the guests being required to wear the same color or the same palette? Well, it's a thing. And I have mixed feelings. Yes, I started out our hot take on one that I have mixed feelings on. So I've heard about this and I get it from like a photographic standpoint. Like if everyone else is wearing all black and you're wearing white, like it stands out. It's gonna make for dynamic photos. Love. But how much are you complicating it for people? And how are you gonna react if like someone doesn't listen? That is where I think it gets really messy. So I guess to like pull this my thought process apart, like two parts of this. One is the how are you going to react? Because there's a chance that someone, great grandma, Edna, is not gonna get the memo. She's gonna show up in like a smoky gray and be like, it's the closest thing I had, and you're like, it's not black. What then? Like, is it okay? Are you gonna have an issue? Obviously, if you're gonna have a meltdown, I'm like, don't do it, because it's gonna be stress on you. You're gonna look a fool. Everyone's gonna obviously think you look a fool because you're having a meltdown over a color, and no one's gonna be happy. And the whole point of, happily ever after and in love is gonna kind of get derailed. So if you're gonna do something like that, yes, you can say required, but like, or strongly requested or whatever phrasing you want to use, but like you are gonna have to roll with the punches like a little because that's humanity. I think the other aspect is that if you're going to do a request where like everyone wear this color or something else, right? It needs to be accessible. So like black, I think is a good option. Everyone knows what color black is. Even though yes, there are definitely all sorts of shades of black. As a hairstylist, I promise you, I know them all well, and I have them all in probably two-thirds of my closet. But everyone knows what that is. If you tell people, I want you to all wear olive green, like it's, I don't know, maybe 10% is actually gonna show up in olive green. Or you want them to show up in a floral pattern. Like you have an image in your head that's may or may not be what they're showing up in their head. And I think that runs a higher risk of you not being happy and also them not matching like that photographic aesthetic. And it just complicates it so much. So, my hot take on the idea of a required dress code color, if you're gonna do it, keep it straightforward, simple, and like, painfully obvious as to what you mean and want. And roll with the punches because there's a good chance that someone's just not gonna get the memo. And that's okay, because that's not what the day is about. Like, your day is going to still be amazing. Now, I know that this chat, this first podcast after our very long absence, is shorter than what it normally will be. Typically, we're going to be aiming for like a 30 to 40 some minute range. But it's just me today. So I don't think you want to just hear me ramble for 40 minutes, though I probably could. Instead, we're going to wrap it up nice, short, and sweet with what we have done. I hope you've been enjoying yourself. Make sure to hit the like and subscribe, because when you subscribe, you get uninterrupted content, none of those annoying ads. If you have any thoughts, topics you want us to discuss, definitely the hot takes, please submit them because I am dying to hear them. Your interest, your inquiries, your tea or drama is going to help fuel these conversations. And in reality, it helps us to really actually educate people. If you bring something up and like, or you saw a train wreck, let us use that as a learning study. We'll help you all along the way. But in all seriousness, I'm really grateful that you all are here. I am so glad that this is back. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And I can't wait to see where this goes. So thank you all, and we will see you next week.